My head was swimming as I sat ruined by one too many shots of GSM Blue. Marco had pulled over to get me some water and refill at the gas station, and I sat in his passenger seat, my head slumping out of the roll-down window. The moist air didn't make me feel any better, but I didn't have the energy to roll up the window. I heard the banshee-like screech come from the tree line, and I grabbed my head as the sound made my head throb. What was going on? Was a cat being punched in the face or something? Was a lady being attacked by a jaguar? I squinched my face up before trying to open one eye to see what was going on. And that's when it landed on the windshield. It was the upper torso of a woman, her intestines and guts hanging out of her waist, blood slopping all over the windshield. Her arms were sinewy and leathery, her hands like the claws of some witch. Huge bat-like wings extended from her back and her glowing red eyes stared at me. And I watched as her jaw dropped lower than it should have, and a long, purplish tongue with a barb at the tip oozed out like a snake. Suddenly, very sober, I turned and began to roll up the window, but the demon's tongue curved around towards me and shot through the opening, the tip flying past my head. The tongue was nimble and began to snake around inside the car, and as I held up my hand to protect my face, the point flew through the middle of my hand. I screamed as I continued to try and roll up the window, and the tongue began to move wildly as the window was beginning to cut into it. The barb flew back and forth, the tip razor sharp slicing my arms as I tried to defend myself. The window suddenly exploded as the creature had punched through the glass, and I screamed again as her claws dug into my face and she pulled me from the car. The creature flung me to the cement, and as I tried to stand, I felt the tongue pierce my stomach and I fell to my knees with a bloody gasp. I watched as I saw the tongue pulse as it vacuumed my insides. And all I could think of was that... My name is Rick Kitagawa, and this is the Inner Monster Podcast. The Manananggal is one of my favorite mythological creatures, mainly because of how gnarly it is. I mean, the creature separates its torsos from its legs, stashing the useless legs behind somewhere, as it drags its guts throughout the sky with their gigantic leathery bat-like wings. I mean, you have to appreciate the creativity with this one. Hailing from the Philippines, the Manananggal's name comes from the Tagalog word meaning to separate, and its name literally translates as the one who separates itself. The Manananggal is described to be a terrifying woman of some sort, or a woman's torso, mainly human-looking but terrifying, with red eyes, a proboscis-like tongue, sharp fangs, and claws. Likely, this creature's origin stems from the expression used to describe a severed torso, and like most origins of vampiric creatures, it might be a way of explaining ghastly phenomenon that we couldn't yet explain. And in this case, the tragedy of stillborn children. You see, the favorite food of the Manananggal is the heart of unborn fetuses, which it extracts from the belly of a sleeping mother using its elongated proboscis-like tongue. This fuels the speculation that this myth was created to explain the tragedy of children and mothers lost to pregnancy and birthing complications. Another possible origin stems from its other favorite cuisine, grooms-to-be, apparently due to the fact that the Manananggal was said to once be a bride who was abandoned at the altar. Whether the myth was an attempt to explain prenatal child mortality or a morality tale about going through with a marriage once you commit to one, the origins are a bit unclear, but for once I want to talk about an aspect of the creature itself for today's topic. The need to separate ourselves into different parts. You may have heard before of a term called code switching. While it was originally created by linguists to refer to when we switch linguistic patterns depending on the situation, it sort of evolved to refer to how we change our clothing, speech patterns, or how we behave from situation to situation. While there are some pretty great and hilarious examples by comedians Key and Peele on Comedy Central's YouTube channel about code switching. A common example might be that you probably talk to your grandmother differently than you would talk to your boss, and that behavior or linguistic pattern switch is a form of code switching. In fact, code switching is so normal in most of our lives that if you imagine a military commander talking to their troops in the same way that they would speak to their newborn infant, you'd probably think of that as completely ridiculous. But I do want to make a distinction here that I'm not sure we often talk about. The difference between code switching as a necessity versus code switching as a choice. Code switching as a necessity is an aspect of the world that I would like to make irrelevant. It's something people do because they don't feel safe or like they won't be listened to simply because they're not fitting in. An organization I belong to is called Codebreakers for a reason. We actively seek to create spaces of belonging for young people to have spaces where they can feel seen and heard as full human beings without having to code switch. And what this looks like is for people to be able to be themselves, whatever that might manifest itself as. Perhaps it's dressing in baggy pants, gold chains, and baseball caps while also studying advanced quantum physics while listening to punk rock. Maybe it's owning your they, them, their pronouns while wearing dresses and heels and majoring in mechanical engineering. Part of being yourself and owning your identity is also understanding that you might be for some people and not for others. And this is really crucial and ties back to the idea of code switching as a choice. So while code switching and separating ourselves into neat little compartments out of fear of being outcast or attacked is terrible, I do think that code switching in order to move forward sometimes makes a lot of sense. Because part of solid negotiation skills and interpersonal skills at a larger level is the idea of mirroring back other people. It makes us more likable and more likely to be able to enroll someone else in an idea if we are using some of their language, using some of their behaviors, and mirroring them back to them. And one caveat to the overall lesson of be yourself is that if being yourself is at the expense of others without their consent, then I don't think you should be yourself. I think you need to change. To clarify, if you want to think racist, sexist, terrible things, okay, I will strongly disagree with you, but that's fine that you think that way. But once you turn your thoughts into actions and start infringing on others by saying vile crap on the internet or, you know, I don't know, maybe going and shooting up Asian massage parlors, then you're now officially on my stop being a piece of human trash list. Okay, so that said, while I do think that code switching to be more effective in negotiation is often a solid choice, I would also put forth the idea that perhaps code switching as a choice should still be worked out of our behaviors. After all, by being yourself and owning the different parts of yourself, you might turn some people off. But perhaps that might just allow you to more readily find people who you are for. In a way, being your whole self can be a way of filtering out people and organizations that you wouldn't enjoy working with or for in the first place. If you look at my own personal web presence, it's pretty clear that I'm not the type of person who is probably going to stay quiet, blindly obey, or follow directions that I disagree with. I'm likely to look at things from an identity politics slant and be very vocal about it and give people feedback when they're wrong. This is not typical employee behavior and is partially why I've mostly gone down the path of entrepreneurship. Because unless you have hiring managers that value feedback, thinking for oneself, and people saying things like white supremacy is bad while on the job, I'm not a good fit for most jobs. And the jobs I have held have all been with organizations that were fine with me charting my own course, improving things, giving feedback when I see things that are wrong, and I make sure that these organizations are aligned with my beliefs around equity. So I guess what I'm trying to say is that while I think code switching can make sense in a lot of cases, The next step towards belonging is to embrace yourself and be honestly, unapologetically you. That said, I want to acknowledge that where we are at as a society does not match where I'd like us to be, and there can be real safety concerns, physical, emotional, and financial ones, around being yourself, especially if you're not part of the dominant culture. So I 100% get it if you are still code switching out of necessity, because please be safe, first and foremost. But if you have the privilege to be able to be more yourself, when you feel safe and ready to do so, I encourage you to embrace those parts of yourself that you might be hiding away. Not only does it bring a sense of freedom and power, but it also serves to model that for other people. And the more you can show others how they can be safe being themselves, the more others can share in those feelings of freedom, joy, and belonging. Embracing your whole self is the ultimate form of belonging, and while others can hold space for you and support you on that path, ultimately, you need to choose to do this for yourself. And if that's not an option for you yet, holding space for others to do the same by listening, using empathy, and defending those choices for others is an amazing gift that you can give to not only the other brave individual stepping out into the light, but also society as a whole. So whether for yourself or for others, what can you do this week to embrace the idea of people showing up as their full selves? That's it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening to the Inner Monster podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please be sure to check out all of our other episodes wherever you get your podcasts, or visit innermonsterpodcast.com. And if you feel so inclined, please spread the word and share this with a friend, or leave a review, or subscribe to get the podcast each week, every Inner Monster Monday. And now, a quick word from our sponsors. If you want to hear Inner Monster podcast episodes before anyone else, consider joining my Patreon at patreon.com/rickkitagawa, where you can get ad-free episodes, discounts on creepy art, and even coaching packages. That's patreon.com/rickkitagawa. I hope to see you there. Thank you so much. And I hope you have a monstrous day.